1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, at the cross. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us this morning. You said where two or three are gathered, there you'd be in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and we look for you at this hour. And let us do and say that that'd be pleasing to thee. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, at the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, I'd like to speak to the sinners, okay? The totally depraved. Now, they're not exactly as you might imagine. See, we think of things. I have a book in front of me here. You guys can't see it. I'm going to read a paragraph from it this morning by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones called The Cross, God's Way of Salvation. And it proved me wrong, and that's a good thing. It proved me wrong because the totally depraved are not always exactly as you might imagine. And the phrase in the book was, now you think of this, was that Christ died on the cross for those that hated him. Until I read this, I didn't believe that. Maybe you did. You're probably smarter than me. I didn't believe that. I did not believe that Christ died on a cross for people that hated him. But he died for Saul of Tarsus. And boy, nobody hated him like Saul of Tarsus. He killed people for that reason. He was a most religious man. And by all accounts of that day, because till then we didn't have New Testament theology, we didn't have Christ Jesus, he was the most vehement in his religion. The most vehement in the church. Seemingly, to the nth degree, serving God. He wasn't a drunkard, so far as we know, a blasphemer, a whoremonger, any of those things. He was the most religious guy of the day. I spoke to you earlier. Natural men only do wrong. Natural men. Men that are not converted. Even in religion. He was most adamant in his religion. But I said, Christ came to save sinners. You all know my life verse is 1 Timothy 1:15. Of whom I am chief. Now, of course, Christ did. He saved the harlots and such and drunkards. Thank God. Because he came to save sinners. Do you see? Once you've been to the cross, how can you live for anything else? I'm asking you. How can you live for anything else? It's the cross. It's always been the cross. We didn't know about it, but Lucifer did, and he knew it was coming. He said, you're going to bite his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Right there in Genesis. It's always been the cross. It shall always be the cross. And I would ask you this morning, have you been to the cross? Isn't it amazing how many in religion, how many in denominations and churches never ask that question? You know all the questions they ask, but they never ask, have you been to the cross? Can there be a more important question in your life? Have you been to the cross? Galatians 2:20. What? I am crucified with Christ. That's a believer. It's a saint. How can you be crucified with Christ if you've never been to the cross? knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. How can the old man be crucified with him if you've never been to the cross? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, most glorious verse, turn if you would to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. At the end of the letter to the Galatians, Paul utters, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom," now look, "by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world crucified." There is but one glory for the child of God. There is but one glory for the redeemed. And that's the cross. Those that are crucified with Christ. Paul says it's the only thing I glory in. I can't glory in anything else. On June the 3rd, 1985, I stepped out of the world. It was finished. Many of you know the story. It was done. Turn, if you would, back into Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 and verse 18. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I stepped out of the world. It was finished. You know, most I've encountered in religion have never received that. They just simply have not. If you're there in 2 Corinthians, go to the same chapter, chapter 7, and look at verse 10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." Do you see it? Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now that speaks tons, you see. A repentance unto death. That's the religion of the day, a repentance unto death. Not a new creature in Christ Jesus, whereby all it is finished and all things are become new. And these are as those, you remember in the Old Testament? They had to sacrifice year after year after year after year after year for the remission of sins. A repentance not to be repented of. That's the cross. It's finished. Complete. A repentance not to be repented of. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." And then verse 3, "But in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sins every year." That's modern evangelism right there. Every week, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, you see? New wine and old bottles. Remember that message? Years ago preached it. New wine, no bottles. And they wonder why they burst. Why they didn't make it. They don't hold fast. Always needing repentance and prayer. "Oh, pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, preacher." Back to the mire and the vomit they go. Saved from what? Was that cross a failure? Was it not capable of what he came to do? Not conquering sin in your life. He came to save from what?
Sin.
Well, did he? Don't preach that. You know, sometimes feel like Samuel, what's this bleating of sheep that I hear? Especially in church. Remember one of my favorite verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 9? But you're not in the flesh. But you're not in the flesh. So be the Spirit of Christ live in you. In verse 14, Romans 8, as many as led by the Spirit of God, they're the what? The sons of God. He became our sin. We are to become His what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. As D. Martin Lloyd-Jones so aptly put it in this book, The Cross, he said of the cross, it is either everything, it's either everything, or else it's nothing. Such a simple point. But so it's either everything or it's nothing. And that's true. And he also said, he said the same thing about the Bible. He said, you have the Bible. Here's the Bible. And then you have everything else. Here's the Bible. And then you have everything else. And I go, wow, that's so true. Nothing in between. No gray, no purgatory. You are either in Christ. Christ is either in you or He's not. You know, AA and NA and societies and all sorts of clubs and people, they join these things and they aver things, you know. And then they, after they aver, they deem them to be. How many times have you seen that in church? And then what happens? They're not. You either are or you are not. As I've said so many times, wore out the record, I never, ever tried to be a child of God. Any more than I tried to be a man child. Because it's what I am. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, and he trembling and astonished said, what wilt thou have me to do? There, it's finished. Ever been such with you? It was finished? Ever been finished? I like this. I mentioned this to somebody. I've outlived people that know what these things are. There's a quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. It was in San Francisco, Jeff. In San Francisco. That certainly wouldn't happen today, but Harry, what was Dirty Harry's last name? Callahan. Dirty Harry Callahan. There he goes. Yeah, love Dirty Harry movies. And the great quote of the movie, I'm gonna read it exact because people misquote it all the time. And at the beginning of the show, Dirty Harry with his giant 44. Man, if you've never heard a 44 Magnum revolver go off, you haven't heard anything. And Dirty Harry standing over this young bank robber, and he says, I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Well, to tell you the truth, in all the excitement, I kind of lost track myself. But being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? You say, preacher, what are you? 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, know you not your own selves, whether or not you be in the faith. Do you feel lucky? You're relying on luck? There's no luck in salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. Jonah 2:9. Quit playing games and telling yourself that you believe in Jesus so you're okay. Or well, Jesus knows my heart so you're okay. fantasies about what we want God to say instead of what He actually said. Because anything else is, well, are you feeling lucky? And there's no luck involved in providence. I'm asking if you've ever been born again of the Spirit of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's very sad to me that most in religion are just relying on a phrase or a profession or a prayer to escape hellfire. A religious denomination, a baptism, a circumcision. Paul warns against all of those things. You see, it's the cross. It's the cross. I'm going to read you a short paragraph from this book, The Wisdom of God in the Cross, by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. God forbid that I should glory. We just read it. That's Paul. Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. We have yet more to say about this great and most wonderful statement. The apostle here is nailing his colors to the mast, if you like, and making a great declaration of his own personal position. He is contrasting himself with certain false teachers who glory and make their boast in the flesh. Interested in themselves and in their own success and the use that they can make of other people. The apostle says, God forbid that I should be interested in or glory in anything like that. He glories in nothing. He boasts in nothing save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's the cross. You hear me? The cross. You've either been there. You've either been there or you haven't. One cannot be crucified any other way. How can you take it up? He said, take your cross and follow me. How can you take it up if you don't have one, if you've not been there, I'm asking you? How? What is the cross to you? And yet Sunday after Sunday they sing, at the cross. Like if you're going to find all the liars in church, just listen to who's singing Amazing Grace, they used to say. Or as Phil Potts' daddy said, he wouldn't even let his boys sing songs about salvation because he didn't want to make them little liars. And so we sing at the cross, at Calvary, kneel at the cross, never having been there. The chorus at the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where what? I first saw the light. And what happened? The burdens of my heart rolled away. Paul said, I've not to glory but in one thing, and one thing alone. What was that one thing? Cross. How many glory in a place they've never been? You remember I used to tell you all the time, I don't want to hear how to ride a horse from a guy that's never been on one. Because you have no idea. Kind of like golf. Oh, well, you just get up there and you do that. Have you ever tried to hit that little white ball? Because if you haven't, you've got nothing to say to me. Hardest game in the world. You see? Turn over to Galatians, back where we were. Galatians 6:14. Let's look at that verse. I want to show you one thing again. Okay? Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now I want you to look at the next verse, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what?
A new creature.
Amen. 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 There's all your religiosity, all your prayers, novenas, professions, denominations, circumcisions, baptisms, beliefs and such. You know, I thought about all these religions and denominations, churches, like a carnival midway. Like a carnival, like what was that, the city of, the girl and I used to laugh about it. The Vanity Fair. Oh, you know, that's what they're like. They've adopted Vanity Fair right into the very church, you know. Everybody's out to get your business. I know all about that, man. But Christ has only found one place. At the cross. When I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now, most aren't. I'm what? Happy all the day. Happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day at the cross. Thank you, Jesus.